There we go.
Thank you. I'd like to welcome everyone to the May 5th, Cinco de Mayo, meeting of the Energy, Environment, and Sustainability Committee, and ask if the clerk would kindly take the roll.
Mana Jo Green.
Present.
Gina Hansen. Not yet. Phil Erner.
Present.
Joseph Maloney.
Here.
And Eric Stewart.
And again, I apologize. I've been getting so many emails. I can't remember if Eric sent a note with apologies or not. Okay. And with that, would someone like to volunteer to lead the Pledge of Allegiance? Let's see. Phil, would you do the honors?
I would rather not, but thank you.
Okay. Joe?
I'd rather not as well.
Okay, I guess it's up to me. Who else is here? We're still missing two members. So I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. And with that, I would entertain, if everyone's had a chance to look at the minutes for our April 7th meeting, I would entertain a motion to approve the minutes.
So moved.
By Legislator Lerner. Do we have a second? Legislator Maloney,
back
to you. Okay, good. All in favor, please signify by raising your hand and or saying aye. Anyone opposed? Motion carries and the minutes of April 7th are approved. And
Madam Chairman, Legislator Hansett just joined us.
Wonderful. Gina, just so you know, we said the pledge and approved the minutes. And do you have any questions about the minutes? Are you okay with that?
Can you hear us, Gina?
I can hear you.
Okay.
And we can hear you.
Okay, sorry about that. We ran a little late.
I'd like to hear about it offline later.
Okay.
did you have any questions about the minutes?
Me, nope. I looked everything over. No, I'm good.
Okay, excellent. So the next item is an update from the UCRRA. And Tim DeGraff, would you be so kind?
Sure. I'll just start off because Fawn brought it up. I am going to be stepping down as executive director. Just so everybody's aware, basically what happened is I was performing a dual role of executive director and controller. And as time went on, it became more and more of a reality that it was just too much to handle. So I had lengthy discussions with the board chair and then, our current board as well. And I think we're still tweaking it, but we are working on a plan that I think will be, that'll be really, really good for the agency as a whole. And I think everyone will end up being pleased with that. I think we should be able to put the final stamp of approval on, hopefully at our next board meeting. I know we don't want to go much past that for sure. But it's going to be a good change, and it certainly will benefit the county as a whole once we get into that, because there's just too many big projects outside of the day-to-day operational stuff, which I would say that I'm a little, is much more of my strength, actually being involved and running the actual business internally. So I just think this will just make us much, much better on the whole. So I'm, as I said before, I'm not going anywhere. We're just kind of doing a restructuring. That's all. The other thing I wanted to bring up, because it was mentioned earlier as well, is the board and the staff did get together and formally submit our comments to Nick from the Department of the Environment with regards to the RIC RFP. So that was completed on our end. Angie passed along some information that she wanted me to let you guys know. We did have our first household hazardous waste event this past Saturday in New Paltz. We had 300 slots available. We only ended up with about 200 residents that took part. 50 people no showed and or canceled, and we did have 50 spots that hadn't gotten filled before that day. The next one is scheduled in Kingston at our Ulster facility for June 26th. And a big change for that one that's coming, that's also good news, is the, I believe on May 1st, the paint care stewardship program will be coming into effect. So that'll be our first HHW where we'll be taking the latex paint, and that'll all be handled through our vendor and paint care. That's really good news. There's also additional businesses and where residents can bring their latex paint, like Herzog's and Sherwin-Williams in Kingston, and also the Habitat for Humanity Restore in Kingston out Route 28. If you visit Paint Care New York, I believe you can get more information on that. And we'll have two more events, one in August and one in October as well, which will have Paint Care involved. The recycling outreach team is also working with some students from Ulster County Community College to develop a new promotional type of video for the agency. So that's great that, you know, two agencies in Ulster County can get together, and it's obviously a benefit and real world experience for the students at the college. And it's going to be helpful for us as well to get some, you know, like I said, some promotion and marketing material out there. And I think after that, the next step that we were talking about doing is hopefully setting up some type of a virtual tour. Because when COVID happened, we couldn't have people come on site, and it really sparked the idea that if we could put something together and produce something that we can put on our website so people could, you know, learn about the agency just strictly through, say, a YouTube video. So that'll probably be the next video that we work on. Compost Awareness Week. Angie says we have a lot of upcoming events and programs underway for May to celebrate International Compost Awareness Week. Always check our website for any events. The Recycling Outreach team collaborated with Upstate Films. I believe that was this past Sunday at the Orpheum in Saugerties. They hosted a free documentary screening on food waste. And about 30 people attended, and they did a whole Q&A session afterwards. And it was successful enough that Angie's already looking into doing another one. So that's really great. They also hosted a free vermicomposting webinar, which they had 20 people signed up for. And this upcoming weekend is our spring compost bin and rain barrel sale. The distribution event will happen this Saturday. And also on May 17th, there's a free intro to composting workshop in person at the Town of Plattekill Library. She wanted me to update on our website. They've added more waste reduction content. Reuse organization list where you can search by the item that you want to donate, where that can go. A repair refurbish organizations list so you can search by the thing that you want to get fixed. And My Plastic Alternatives, which is created by the New Paltz Climate Action Coalition. So through our website, you can search for local businesses that either sell products in bulk or where people may bring their own containers when getting carryout meals. So there's a bunch of other free outreach programs that are being planned for June and July in partnership with the Rosendale Library, the Esopus Library, Ellenville Library, and the Gardner Library. And the last item I wanted to bring up is we just got notified that DEC opened up the grant program, the food scraps recycling. So we can start submitting an application for May 1st. And our plan is to try and submit an application, and this will go through our zero waste committee at the agency before we formally submit anything. But the plan is to get moving on figuring out a way to have more organics diversions at some of the town transfer stations. I've mentioned it in the past about toters and trailers. And that's what we're hoping to do. There's going to be matching costs involved, and I believe 50% reimbursement after that, hopefully to purchase equipment. So if we could get that grant, that would be an excellent step forward in finding another way to, divert organics out of a different kind of waste stream other than what comes to us. Any questions?
I just want to thank you for adding in a couple more HHW collections, because I know that I've gotten some calls of people that are backed up and there was a waiting list and they just couldn't get an appointment. So having two more collections, especially after COVID, because people have stuff sitting from, doing cleanups because they were stuck home. So thank you.
Yeah, we did four events last year and we have four planned for this year. That's why I was quite surprised when I gave you guys the numbers before. To have 300 slots and actually, you always have people who don't show up, especially if it turns out to be a nice day. That stuff's going to happen. But I was surprised that we didn't actually fill all the slots. Because like you said, usually there is a waiting list for it. And for the first one in April, that was a little surprising. But maybe because it was in the southern part of the county, maybe not. Not really sure.
Joe, Legislator Maloney?
No, I was going to ask you.
Okay. All right, I think that was an excellent report and I appreciate it. And then Department of Environment, Director Vazda, Nick Vazda.
Thank you, Chair Green. Good evening, everybody. I have two brief updates for tonight. First one is a program that was released on Earth Day this past month. It's a partnership between the Department of the Environment and the Office of Economic Development for a Green Business Champions program. It's an action-based certification program where county businesses can complete actions and get certified and then receive recognition from the county in a host of ways that we can help promote them as green businesses in the county. There's more information about it on the county's Green New Deal website, and the applications are open. Second, at Chair Green's request, we have received all of the stakeholder comments for drafting a scope of work for the Reuse Innovation Center capital project, planning study capital project. Thank you to UCRA and the board and staff for putting together some very good comments that we're in the process of compiling, and it's really helping us to narrow down the scope of work. So thank you to Tim and the team there. And next step is to finalize the scope, put together the RFP, and get started. So that's all for me, unless there are any questions.
I just want to encourage people on the Green Business Champions. Now that it's up and running, if someone gets certified, and if there are a number of different actions that they can take, installing solar, doing an energy retrofit, a lighting retrofit, and all of that is detailed on the website. But it made me think about who I knew in Rosendale and Marbletown that have taken these actions. And I've been sending that information to the business and also letting Mike Darcy, I think is Michael Darcy, is managing that program, and letting Michael know so that he can encourage participation. Because ideally, we want it to be that if somebody is looking for a vendor or business, that they check the site to see who is actually helping implement the Green New Deal and address the global climate crisis. So thank you. All right. Next is Environmental Management Council, the EMC. Dave Haldeman, do you have an update?
Yeah, just very briefly. Our speaker this last month was a bunch of students from Bard College, which spoke to us about the Ulster County Climate Adaptation Planning Project that they were working on. And it's just a very novel way of getting communities and individuals within communities to assess their vulnerability due to climate change. So it's just something you can keep in mind. It's out there and it seems to be workable. The other thing I would mention at our next meeting, which is May 25th, Harry Turbush, who is the local businessman who runs the three hydroelectric plants, one in Wallkill here, one across the river in Wappingers, and there's a third one. He's going to be our speaker. And in talking with him of late, there seems to be a considerable amount of difficulty in his renewable energy, this be water power, but he also included solar, in them getting paid. He hasn't been paid for the product he's been producing for 6 months. So it might be of interest for those of you who are in legislature to, and I'll make sure that Fawn has that information in advance so that you can zoom in with us at that time to hear what he has to say. But if my understanding was he was pretty upset about the situation now.
Explain that again.
Okay, so Harry
and who's not
owns Windsor Machine, who is the developer and producer of local hydroelectric power. He's going to talk about those dams he has in operation and how much he produces. He's also going to talk about dams like there's one up in Socrates he mentioned that he had approached some years ago, but that never went into power, but he says it's an ideal spot. So, but the big thing is he and apparently solar as well are having all sorts of difficulty in the payment process for that which they're producing.
Is this through Central Hudson? Sorry,
I don't know whether it's Central Hudson
or
the Public Service Commission. I'm not sure,
but it's not Ulster County.
No, correct? It doesn't sound like it's Ulster County.
Okay.
But perhaps Ulster County could help, I guess, is what they're saying. Well, I'd be interested to hear more.
His power plant in Wallkill, in the hamlet of Wallkill, is one of those affected. So,
David, I'm going to put my email address in my little name tag on my screen. And I would love to connect with him, especially if there's a site in Socrates that maybe would be possible. It sounds interesting, and our Office of Economic Development might be able to help.
That's great. And thank you to everyone who spoke to that. I am a customer of Natural Power Group. And I've seen the work that they do. I've been to the Wappinger Falls site. And to give folks a little bit about the big picture, there has been an interest in trying to develop guidelines for what's a good low impact hydro project. And I use the term low impact hydro because I don't think we want to be flooding large areas, but it is possible and in some cases appropriate to capture hydroelectricity. The Socrates site is one that actually the DEC and Riverkeeper have agreed is a good site. But there is also a strong desire on the part of the Hudson River Estuary Program, Riverkeeper, and some others to take out as many dams and have a free-flowing, what they consider to be healthier watershed. And so where we have come at this point is we're looking for three different projects that we can showcase as a model. And one would be the idea of taking the dam out and showcasing the benefits of that. Another would be rehabilitating or restoring a dam. And then the third would be repowering or powering a dam for low impact hydro. So that's just a little background information. I believe there is someone who's very actively trying to develop the site in Saugerties. They've done quite a bit of work on that. In this case, it's not the Natural Power Group, it's a different developer. And Tim, if you send me a reminder, I'll put you in touch with them as well, if you wouldn't mind.
I don't mind at all. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Pardon? You will. Okay. Thank you. All right. Very good.
Just a second, Manager.
Yes, please.
Yeah. The only other thing I just might mention, and it came up at the end of our meeting last time, was that there's some concern on the part of the county EMC about sustainable tourism in the Catskills, that some places within the Catskill Reserve and Park are being overcrowded, trails are being overwhelmed. They don't have enough parking, they don't have enough toilet facilities, et cetera. And we're working on trying to get a speaker on that topic for our June meeting. I just wanted to mention that.
Great. You're doing excellent work, and it's a really important part of the county. It's sort of the environmental conscience of the county. And let's see. Environmental management. I think we're up to resolutions. Did
Ms. Peterman had his hand up?
Yes, go ahead. Please.
Madam Chair, I just wanted to say on that last point, I would love to know details about that event. I can share them with Tourism Director Lisa Berger, and I'm sure she'd love to participate in that conversation. So,
I would very much, if you want to set up a call, it happens to be an area of expertise is a stretch, but an area that that I have some knowledge about and am pretty current on. We actually had an intern working on gathering that information. So we have quite a bit of information, and we've met with most of the key players in the region. So I'd be glad to share that information.
I'll send you an email on that too.
Okay, all right. And at this point, I would like to-
Madam Chair?
Yes,
Legislator Erner has his hand raised.
Yes, please. Go ahead, Legislator Erner.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And thank you to all our presenters now. I had a few notes from my own attendance at the Environment Management Council that I just wanted to mention here, or if you'd rather, we could take it up later in new business.
Why don't you go ahead, and that way we'll be complete.
Okay. We talked a little bit about a countywide policy around building renewable energy generating facilities or other type of construction that we have to deal with, to deal with the climate catastrophe, and not taking steps backwards, and such as when we were talking about that pilot for the solar array that would clear 20 acres of woods. And we talked at the council about an idea of the county, and this has come up in our committee here too, but just the county banning that sort of practice, and then also adopting a taxation scheme that may make more sense for us to actually appropriately encourage what we want and understand what we're going to be getting for that, what the responsibility is for a commercial developer of such facilities. And then also the idea that we have so much impervious surface in the county that should be the first site, I would think, to put additional infrastructure rather than having to put it on either agricultural land or certainly not clear anything, other land that could be used for things that haven't already been built. So that was one thing we talked about. And let me leave it there.
And let me just make a possible suggestion for a modification. I have been thinking, and I was going to bring this up at the Climate Smart Committee, whose role is to advise the county. And that is to be sure that, especially for the pilot projects that come through us, or that some people call it a reverse pilot, because they are already exempt from taxes. And this is a way, those pilots are a way that, where they agree to pay taxes because they're using the services. And I was thinking not to make more work for Nick's department, but that someone there use either the solar mapping tool or something comparable to look at each of those and give us an idea, because they come both to EES and Public Works, and give us an idea of, for example, is core forest or prime farmland involved, areas that we would want to protect. And then another thing, if there were going to be a countywide law, and I think we need to, if you're interested in pursuing that, and if the committee is, we want to speak with the attorneys, but I would want there to be a variance opportunity. So it wouldn't just be automatic. I completely agree that we shouldn't be taking out forests because of their ability to draw down and sequester greenhouse gases. On the other hand, there may be circumstances where it wouldn't be as much of a loss as other circumstances. And so I know that in the solar mapping tool, they don't specifically say yes or no. They kind of leave that up to the municipality. In this case, it's usually a town or a city. But I think it's worth further discussion and exploration. We can't take committee time to do that, but maybe some of us would want to get together, brainstorm, and then if there's an action to be taken, bring that to the committee. And I definitely would want input from planning and Department of Environment if we were going to go that route. But I do think at least a screening, the way we have a checklist for projects that are subject to CECRA or are covered by the laws and regulations that are already in place in the county. But I think this might either add to that or be specific for solar projects. Anybody have any other? Yes, please. Dave, go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to follow up on Phil's thing. At the very end of the meeting, I mentioned talking about impervious surfaces that are perfect for solar warehouses. In just below us in Orange County, there are tons and tons of warehouses just sitting there, taking up acres and acres. I've seen the same thing in the Lehigh Valley in Pennsylvania, where you've just got 100 acres of warehouses and no solar. So I just throw that out there. We did not have a chance to discuss that.
And I also want to let folks know that because I've been doing a lot of work with solar and the solar mapping project and the Regional Energy Working Group. And I'm actually trying to help the laborers, I should say the Teamsters Union, it's in Orange County, but they have a 4 or 5 acre property that they want to put solar on. And we have gone through several developers, and it's just not as easy as one would think. We've been working on this. I've been just offering to help really since the fall. And it's surprisingly complicated and difficult, but I think we're working with an organization right now that is very helpful, and I think they will succeed. But the thing I've come across is that Central Hudson and other utilities are required to update what they call a DSIP, that is Distributed System Implementation Plan, because we're going from a one-way grid to a bi-directional grid where generation is going to be increasingly distributed, not centralized. And in order to accomplish that, there is the need for grid modification and especially hosting capacity and interconnection. Sometimes the cost of that is a major barrier to an otherwise really excellent project. I would say that Jockey Hill in the town of Kingston, the old city of Kingston landfill, is a really good example of that, where the interconnection essentially killed that project because the cost was too high. So right now, and I think Jen is still on the call. Yeah, Jen Metzger is on the call. We'll be offering comments on the Climate Leadership and Community Protection Act and finding a way to get the grid where the generation is going to be as we move to distributed energy is a really important part of an implementation plan and how that's going to be equitably paid for. And this is on behalf of the Mid-Hudson Regional Sustainability Coalition Energy Working Group that's been meeting since 2010 and so forth. I don't want to take more time on that, but I think to whatever degree we can educate each other about particularly things that relate to climate solutions, that we should do that. All right. So anything else before we get to the resolutions? With that, I would like to focus on resolution number 15, setting a public hearing on the proposed local law, appending the code of the County of Ulster, chapter 131, vehicles, county article, etc., the green fleet policy in relation to the strategies and goals. And this is setting a public hearing for June 21st. A motion to discuss. Okay, thank you, Legislator Hansett, seconded by Legislator Erna. Is there any discussion? Yes, please. First Legislator Erna, and then I saw Legislator Maloney, and I know that Legislator Walters is here as the sponsor.
Legislator Walter, would you like to go ahead?
Sure. I put this in at the end of 2021. And so it's been quite a while that it's been postponed. I feel the language in it is to reflect what's in the county's general policy. I'm requesting that you just either vote on this one, or if you actually have a very specific change you want to make, then suggest it now and I'll be happy to do it. But I really urge you not to postpone this anymore. And you can also just accept this one and put in another one if you have, after conversations, where if you want to, you know, increase both the percentage or decrease the year. I mean, I'm fine with either of those. I just feel like I prefer you either make the change and vote on it or vote on it as it is.
And then I may not have the order right. Who was ready to speak next? Legislator Erner, I think you were.
Sure. So thank you, Legislator Walter. We postponed this originally out of concern that updating the policy without having a corresponding goal of reducing the fleet size might not be the direction we want to go. So I know that this, we've heard that this more or less codifies where we're already at. I believe Director Vosdick had, you'd explained that to us before, right? Like we're basically there already at the 20% through the chair. Is that right?
So as of the end of last year, we were at 9.4% for all vehicles in the fleet.
Okay. And I've talked with DPW Deputy Director Kim Million about our fleet, and she is in support of going forward with this new language. I still have grave concerns that we're not doing everything we need to do to cut back on fleet size, but I think that's a discussion that I want to have further with her, because I'm not the expert on that, and she manages the whole fleet for the county, is my understanding, except for UCAT. So I could support this going to a public hearing and hearing from the public, as long as we're also talking and passing resolutions here in our county that demand that we cut back the fleet wherever that is possible, and cut back other emissions as well as wherever is possible, because otherwise to me, it is actually just greenwashing. So that's what I'll say. Thank you.
Legislator Maloney.
Sure. So on one hand, we're already basically on pace to be here. So this is basically kind of just a thing, I guess, for the public, for us to say, hey, we're like driving something that's already being done. Nick, I think, has already told us we're basically on pace to be at 20%. So I'm not really sure what the point of a memorializing resolution to ourselves is, that to stay on pace to what we're already on pace to do, except that the public hears something and might think we're doing more than we're actually doing. That's kind of what concerns me. DPW, UCAT, and the Sheriff's Department, there's certain vehicles that we're under the impression can't even fully be green, and that's the largest part of our fleet. So these numbers are going to be limited to a certain amount because we're not even able to go there yet. Thirdly, I think Phil and I have talked a lot about reducing. Nothing in the report we've done. You know, I just sent Phil something the other day, some articles where looks like 6 to 8% of plastic being produced in this country actually gets recycled. That's scary. And so you got to be careful when you're talking about going green and what it actually means. Where do you get these batteries? How much mining are we doing? Where are we generating the electricity that goes into these vehicles? Another big issue I have is we just bought 3 buses. Legislators couldn't wait to get down there to get their picture taken with the executive because we purchased 3 buses. I'm not sure how that's an accomplishment of an elected official. I think any elected official could have spent that money. What different elected officials could have done is purchase buses, green buses that had the ability to drive outside of the city of Kingston. These 3 buses we just purchased, they were a little cheaper. We bought them, it served its purpose. The public thinks we're going green. We can't even go outside of the city of Kingston or go up certain hills with them. Then I hear that there were buses that maybe cost more. There was a producer, a manufacturer out in California that may have had a better bus. So my whole issue with all of this is it was never about reduction. It doesn't do anything but kind of, in my mind, trick the public into thinking we're doing more than we're actually doing. We're on pace to do it anyways. And I don't really know how green it really is if you're not talking about reducing. And if we do move this way, and it's always about things that sound good, and this is great, isn't it? We're taking pictures, then we're really not doing the kind of environmental things we really need to do. This is that superficial surface, sounds great. We have the word green, but really, until we dive in, reduce the size of our fleet, and get the greenest vehicles we possibly can, then we're just doing press releases. So whatever, this can go to public comment, but in the scheme of things, I hope no one thinks we're really doing anything here.
Thank you, Deputy Ryder.
The only thing I want to add is that I believe the current policy says 5% by 2020. So we've reached that. 2020's come and gone. You might as well rescind the policy if we're not going to amend it. As Legislator Walter said, if you want to pass this and go deeper, then feel free to go more. We can evaluate that, look at reducing the size of the fleet where we can. We can continue to do all that, but I think we need to update the policy to match where we are, which is we've exceeded the current policy and the deadline's passed.
Legislator Walter.
Thanks. I also want to, related to what Deputy Executive Ryder said, without changing the policy, we can't be sure that this is the same executive we're going to have through 2025. Just because this is the momentum that we're going on does not mean that if a different executive came in a year or two, I don't know the exact time period, and I know things are up in the air, but there's nothing codifying that we'll stay on track with this. And so, you know, I question the idea that this is just for a press release. This is the fact that we should codify this, so that we do stay on track and we continue to stay on track. What would it otherwise stop this momentum from changing? And so why risk that? As far as doing more, I would also reiterate what Deputy Executive Ryder said, feel free to put in resolutions with dramatic expectations of ways we can improve our green. That would be great. I mean, it's irrelevant to this. Go pass this, or at least get it to public hearing, and put your money where your mouth is. If you want us to do more, then put those resolutions forward. That'll be great. I'd love to see them.
And thank you. And again, this is setting a public hearing. Personally, I think it's a step in the right direction. And I think we can move incrementally. If it was a step backward, I would feel differently. But it's definitely a step in the right direction. And I just want to ask, without putting you on the spot, but Legislator Hansen, did you want to speak to this at all before we call the question?
No, I think that my opinion is that we go forward with a public hearing at this point, so.
All right, Chair, Legislator Maloney, go ahead.
I'll just ask Nick, one quick question. If we didn't pass this today, would anything in your day-to-day work change?
The function we serve at the Department of the Environment is mainly a reporting function. Most of the vehicle purchasing decisions happen at public works.
Mark, if this didn't pass today, would anything in your day-to-day work change?
No, I mean, likely not, but as Legislator Walter said, who knows?
No, thank you. Thank you. That's all I was wondering. Thank you.
All right. I would like to call the question and ask for a vote. We had discussion. I don't think we have to motion the resolution. I think we can just call for a vote. On resolution number 15 to set a public hearing on the green fleet policy. All in favor, please signify by raising your hand and or saying aye.
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 And has anyone, is anyone opposed? All right, motion carries. The next resolution is number 167, adopting a negative declaration for the demolition of the former Ulster County Jail located on Golden Hill and establishing and funding capital project number 630, demolition of the jail, Golden Hill. And this is an ARPA project with the planning department. So I would like to hear a motion so that we can discuss this. Legislator Erner.
I move that we postpone this and would like to discuss that, please.
Okay.
Can we open it for discussion and then make a motion to postpone, if that's all right, Phil?
I'll withdraw the postponement. Sure. I move we discuss.
I second.
Okay. Thank you. And that was Legislator Maloney. So let's go ahead with the discussion. I see Legislator Erner's hand.
Here, yeah. Phil, if I could step in front, was this something, I know there's people from your district here, Phil, that I see on. Chair, did you want to do public comment? I thought you said public comment before each resolution. So I just wanted to make sure there weren't anyone from the public that wanted to comment on this resolution. Sorry to step in. I'm just reminding you that that's how I took what you said earlier. I didn't mean to step on you again, Phil.
I appreciate that, Joe. And I actually need to excuse myself for 1 minute. I'll be right back. I don't want to hold things up. So however that works procedurally, I want to hear and participate, but I need to be gone and right back.
Okay, thank you. Why don't I call on Deputy Ryder, and then I think that if there are people from the public that would like to speak, if you can raise your hand, will they be able to raise their hand if they want to speak, or how will they let you know? You're on mute.
I think they can raise their hand. We could ask them when Deputy Ryder is done.
Okay, very good.
Yeah, I see people raising their hands now, so.
Okay, excellent. Go ahead, Mark, please.
I would just strongly urge and ask the committee not to postpone this, whether or not you pass it, that's up to you. But there are deadlines that are approaching for funding sources and other things in June for the developer, and they will need to show support or not through, you know, the negative declaration. There is not anything that a month will do to sway this conversation in this committee. So I would strongly urge the members who want to support this resolution to not support a motion to postpone.
Okay. I see Matt Colangelo's hand is raised.
Hey. Hi, good evening. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hi, yes. Thank you for the opportunity. I would strongly urge the committee to postpone this resolution. I don't think the developer's interests are more important than the residents. I live over on Glen Street in the city of Kingston, and have been trying to represent the residents that are impacted. So I do think a month would be very important. I don't think the developer's interests are more important than the residents. With respect to the issues that impact the environment with regards to the demolition, they're vast, which is why we need to postpone it. Issues regarding the possibility of asbestos that still could remain in the jail should be discussed. The question of whether or not ARPA funds should be used for this demolition when it is believed that the RFP for this project would require the developer to pay for it. And if there, you know, it is an agreement for a cost sharing, why is the county paying 100% and the developer paying zero? So I definitely think postponement is a very important thing, because building this project correctly is extremely important. And I think it's more important than the developer's interest to meet a deadline. So I hope that some of these questions that have not been been answered, this committee will postpone so that they can get the answers to better understand. Thank you.
Okay. Deputy Ryder, is this a direct response? Otherwise, I'll go to Alona and then come back to you.
The only thing I want to say is that some of the comments that were just raised have nothing to do with SEAKER and the environmental impacts. This resolution went through 5 separate legislative committees. It has passed 4. Some of the issues raised have nothing to do with SEAKER. There are no negative impacts, environmental impacts from the demolition of the jail. It is currently there, and if there is asbestos, it will be remediated. And so that there is no negative impacts for demolishing the jail, and we would do that regardless of the housing project. What I was saying, and it has nothing to do with the interest of the developers, there are some major state and federal funding deadlines, which is why we've worked our way through the last year and a half, and we've had 3+ public information sessions, and we've had public hearings through the planning board on their SEAKER and for the project. But this SEAKER is for the demolition of the jail. We need to get the jail that's been closed for over a decade demolished and out of there. And in fact, just by doing that, that will improve some of the stormwater runoff and other things. And this project overall will improve the stormwater runoff. And I've told Mr. Colangelo that outside of, on phone conversations. And so that is separate. The runoff is separate and far apart from this project. The traffic is separate and apart from this project. So I just urge the committee to move. It's already been postponed a month. And it's passed all 4 other committees that it's come to.
Let's see. Ilona, if you would unmute yourself and make your comment, and then I'll let.
With due respect to Mr. Ryder, the fact that previous committees have passed it may not be relevant, because we've seen other projects that are misbegotten be passed. And so that by itself is not a sufficient reason to not consider this particular resolution. I will say I am new to this issue. I am not as fully informed as I could be. I will admit that from the start. But what I will also say is that I went there last night and I got a good tour of the property, and I was shocked by what I saw. I was absolutely shocked at the condition of the grates that water is supposed, the paucity of the number of grates that water is supposed to go down, stormwater is supposed to go down. I was shocked at the condition of the pipes that were blocked by leaves that have not been maintained. And the fact that everything Mr. Ryder said sounds nice, but I now have enough experience with government locally to not take it in at its full worth in words. I'm not sure that postponing this resolution is the right thing to do, because as I said, I'm not familiar with the legalities. I don't know if there's another SEAKER that's going to come up for the project. I don't know what the implications of a SEAKER resolution are just on the demolition as opposed to the construction. But when I looked at, and again, I'm new and I haven't done my homework on it, but I was shocked at the paperwork that I saw, and I tried to look at the paperwork, and maybe there should be another hearing for the paperwork so we can all understand what's at stake. But you know, I'm almost of the mind that people should delay it and then put a great deal of study into the steps and perhaps make have more public participation. I'm sorry, I may not be able to be part of that, but I would hope that other people would give it their all and really publicize this, because it right now it does not look like the best thing as it stands. Thank you.
All right, Legislator Maloney.
Sure. And I mean, I wasn't here for a large, some of this goes back to the past term, and I wish I was here. You know, I've seen actual emails and guarantees from the former legislator of this district where he promised more public hearings. It never happened. I think we sandwiched four topics into one public hearing, and it was, digital, was done on Zoom. I think there should have been more public hearings. I got a lot of questions I'd like to get to. Do we have, and some of it is environmental. Some of it, I think, is this is a standing committee, and that's why I invited Tim Wiederman in, and I appreciate him coming in here, and I have a couple of questions for him as well. When was the appraisal done on this property, and what is it appraised for? Can anybody answer me that from the executives wing? I don't care who. When was it done, and what did it appraise for, this property? Can anybody tell me that?
Well, we haven't, if I may, Madam Chair.
Yes, please.
So just an answer to the specific question.
Sure. The we're looking at a purchase and sale agreement with the developer. I'm not sure what this has to do with the resolution. It doesn't matter.
We've invited you in to talk about a lot of topics here, because I don't think a lot of these topics have been talked about. And there's legislators that are being asked to vote on something that weren't here when these answers may have been given. So that was a simple question. What was the appraisal and what was the number? That's just something I've been wondering. And this is the committee I've been
chair. We anticipated the value of the project was somewhere around 1.6 to 1.8 million.
Did you do an appraisal to get that?
The appraisal was done. The appraisal was done by the developer, and we would update it as part of the person we're going to sell the property to did an appraisal themselves. If you let me finish, Mr. Maloney, okay. As part of the final work, we would have it reappraised.
Okay, thank you. So Dennis answered that question. So we already have an issue. We have what sounds like this property is assessed at $17 million. We entered into a relationship with the developer that we're taking their appraisal number at $1 million. Part of the deal originally, as far as I'm understanding, was to do that demo, which is part of this conversation today. And now we're doing that demo and working off of an insanely low appraisal. Like I said, $17 million assessment, $1 million appraisal done by the person that we're going to then sell it to. We have some issues here. If this gets held up, I'm comfortable holding it up, because I think we need to rewind. There's a lot of traffic with regards to demo. Where did we get the $1.5 million number? There was an RFP?
If I may, Madam Chair.
Yes, please.
So I want to go back to one of the first comments, because what we need to understand is that the property that you're talking about that has the estimate of the tax estimate is the entire property on Golden Hill. This is a subdivision of that property. We would subdivide it off, and it would only include the jail property itself. So when you look at that, you can't take the current estimate that's out there, or the current tax assessment that's out there, and apply it across, because that includes the buildings on the buildings that house our health department and our UCAT, sure, et cetera. Whereas we would subdivide that off. That's the first
thing. Thank you for that.
So the second thing,
we still don't have an appraisal, and letting the developer give us an appraisal that sounds low still seems rather wrong.
Well, the point being is as I indicated, we would go back through and have it reappraised as part of the final purchase
after the fact. You just told me you're already entering into negotiations for the price of the land without an appraisal. Who the hell would ever do that?
We have, if you read the purchase and sale agreement, The purchase and sale agreement indicates that what we would do is appraise the property before it's sold. That's what the purchase.
But you're already negotiating. How do you negotiate?
Question. Excuse me.
Let's get back to the demo question. There's obvious. We obviously have.
Let me answer the appraisal question, if you would, please.
It was a demo question.
The purchase and sale agreement basically says that we will do an appraisal prior to the sale, and they will pay us the appraised value. That's what it says. If you ask me a question in terms of what we anticipated the value was,
but you've already admitted you started negotiating
$1.6 and $1.8 million. But if you wanted to ask the question in terms of how we're going to arrive at a final value, they will be an appraisal to do that.
Who will do the appraisal? Them?
We will make sure that we work together to do the necessary appraisal. If you're asking us who would do the appraisal, the point that I would try to do is make sure that we both agree on a fair appraisal. And hire someone that's certified that both parties.
See, I want the legislature involved in who's doing this appraisal, because I've already got a lot of questions. So look, there's some alarming facts there. On to the demo. What's that, Chair?
I'd just like to pause for a point of clarification, and ask the clerk. I'm just looking at the fact that. Legislator Stewart is not here. And so I just want to ask the clerk, if the vote were a tie vote, the resolution would not pass. Is that correct?
If it's a tie vote, it fails.
Okay. I just want everybody to be aware of that. I'm not going to cut off conversation, but it may make sense to postpone until Legislator Stewart is here for that reason.
More importantly, let's get some of these answers. So the demo, how did we come to the demo guesstimate?
So one of the things that we looked at is we had a prior quote. We've been proposing to demo this jail for many years now, and I believe the legislature should be aware of that. Given its condition. And so we looked at a prior quote. That prior quote, as I understand it, was a little over $1 million. And so you're looking at other quotes that we had.
What year was that?
I don't remember the year, Mr. Maloney. I'm sorry, legislator. I just don't remember the year. But the thought being was that we have a base bid in here that would demo the jail, and we have additionals to that base bid on alternates, which would do additional work.
Okay, thank you for that. I have concerns about the price in general. It seems that we're going off of a bid. We don't even know what year it's from. I know that I went to renovate a bathroom 3 years ago, and then it was twice the price this year to renovate that same bathroom. I don't know about going off of just raising it a little bit. Did that last demo, if you can't even tell me what year it was, do you know if they took into consideration whether there was asbestos and the kind of requirements that go along with removing toxicity from a building, was that taken into consideration? There's also worries about the traffic. Where are these trucks going to go? How are they getting off there with these? We've already acknowledged that you need a stoplight, so now we're going to have trucks up there. Also, I heard talk of clawbacks from the executive, which I find very unrealistic. Who's going to go back and try to claw back if something doesn't go the way we thought it would? And not to mention, it's ARPA funds that run out. Once you don't spend the ARPA funds by a certain date, they're gone. So is it even legal to put clawbacks into ARPA and ARPA funded? And have we even looked into that? There's just so many. And once again, we're talking about what sounds like a very low price with no transparency. Why not just get the appraisal from an independent source and have a lot of people in on who chooses the appraiser, make sure we know what it's worth before we start entering in negotiations. And then on top of it, we're doing the demo we didn't even go out for an RFP, which is virtually free. We don't exactly know what's in the building. We don't know how these large trucks are gonna be getting the jail out of there, if they can, in a safe way. Are they turning right? Are they turning left? I'm just bummed here.
So
and I still have more questions. We haven't even gotten to the runoff study. But let's
Mark has his hands up.
I think if we do postpone, I think when you guys come back in a month, maybe some of these questions can be answered, because that's the leverage we have. Phil represents the people over in this community. The only leverage we have sometimes is maybe postponing part of this. Maybe you'll tell me you're going to figure out a way to move on anyways. Well, that's, I'm not going to be bullied into looking the other way on a lot of questions. Now, I guess there's still some more. Mark wants to speak for the third time, but you know, no one commented on the public hearing aspect, even though it's in writing from the former chair of the legislature. That can be produced. Who represents that district? He promised this community more public hearings before we got to this point. So forgive me if I don't want to take, you know, people's word for things when a lot of this stuff doesn't make sense. It doesn't look like we're doing our due diligence, and there are a lot of questions. And like I said, we haven't even gotten to, have we done a runoff study there? Because anyone that's gone up there sees that there's serious water issues. There are freshwater ponds. There might even be a stream. They're already flooded out.
I have some for you, Legislator Maloney. So yes, there's been a runoff study, a consultant, and it has shown that this project will only improve the runoff to the residents. The runoff with stormwater has nothing to do with this project. It goes back decades. And in fact, it doesn't even really have to do with the nursing home or us being up there in a jail. It has to do with Glen Street is at the bottom of a hill. Golden Hill is Golden Hill. Go up there and you'll see that above our property, there are mountains and the runoff begins up there. Now, there will be catchments and other things in the design of this property that will that will increase stormwater. And I've explained that to Mr. Colangelo. On the public hearing, we've had three public input sessions with the developer, one on July 27th, 2021,
that's
true. One on September 1st, 2021, and one on 10/25/2020. All of the information is on the website. If you go to Penrose's website, it has the Q&As, it has the Zoom links, it has all three meeting information and the presentations. And there has been public input, and some of that has gone into this project. I am aware that if it's a 2-2 tie, it fails. But as I said, it's gone through four committees. I think it's time for the full legislature to have an opportunity.
If it
fails tonight, then I will be okay with that.
Chair, if I could. First of all, community forums are not public hearings, Mark. I stand by my public hearing comment. And can you just answer me, who did this runoff study? Was it an independent firm of some sort? Who did that runoff study?
I believe it was Chasen, but I'd have to double it. Dennis is shaking his head.
It's Chasen.
All right.
Was Chasen one of the original developers here?
Engineering consultant.
They're an engineer. Hired by who?
They're hired by the developer.
Okay, here we go. This is what I mean. So we get our appraisal done by the developers. We get the runoff study done by the developers, the traffic study. Everybody and these people that are eventually going to make money off of this are the ones that are telling us everything's fine. You could have said that. And then I say, well, who's Chasen? You say, oh, they're a consultant. Oh, well, who are they hired by? Oh, the developer. I always have to press and ask and peel away a little further, and then we get a different story. I don't want to. First of all, that's county property up there. These residents are already being washed away. So we can take ARPA funds and make a sweeter deal for the developer and get rid of the jail for them. And to be honest with you, the diligence around the plan of that doesn't pass the test. But we can't take money and make it right for these people that live there. And if you think we're not going to have more runoff after we start putting apartment complexes up there, then maybe we'll ask the developer. They'll tell us no. They'll tell us nope. It won't. I mean, these are reasonable questions. And there was a traffic study, I assume, as well. Who did the traffic study, Mark?
This is how projects work. It was the
consultant. No, it is not. It's how it works in this administration, apparently.
Any
project. It's not down the road from your house. So that's how it works. Come on, guys. So, if we had 1,000 independent members of the community here listening to this back and forth, what do you think? Do you think they'd be concerned? Do you think they'd be happy with what they're hearing?
So if I may.
Legislator Maloney, I am going to, there are other hands up, and I would like you to put any other questions you have in writing. I have a feeling we're gonna have to postpone. I wanna acknowledge other people in the meeting and just say that, for example, green stormwater practices can be implemented to reduce the runoff. There are ways of addressing these, and they should indeed be incorporated into whatever agreement is finally reached. And I'm going to call on Legislator Erner, and then I'll call on Alona again briefly, and then I'm going to make a recommendation for action. Legislator Erner, go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I want to thank the members of the executive team for coming here to answer our questions. And I want to thank the residents here from District 6 for speaking up and for coming here and for bringing attention to what's going on in their neighborhood, in our neighborhood. We're all part of this county. We have to think as neighbors in the county. So I was intending to stick to the matters that our committee here handles, but some folks have brought up points that go beyond that. So I want to take a moment just on that, and then before proceeding with the environmental issues. I said last night in the housing committee that I don't think a project like this should go like this. I don't think we should be taking public property at all, in fact, and turning it over to private developer interests. I think that property ought to remain public, and with a possibility of the future residents who will live there to have either the public, the community as their landlord, if that's how it has to be, or else an equity opportunity so that they can become homeowners and not have to rent to this developer that we're giving public property to. Unfortunately, I wasn't in the majority on that last night. And so it seems the will of the housing side of our body is that it's okay, at least in the committee. So fine. But that doesn't change the fact that we haven't, as a county, done adequate outreach to involve the people who might end up living there, impacted individuals in our community who have been displaced from their homes in Kingston, from the county in some cases entirely. How are we going to know what they need if they're not here talking with us in our public hearings, whether it's done by or even anything that's done by the developer? I have multiple Kingston community housing advocate organizations that have told me they were asked by the Housing Development Corporation and the developer to come to the table and bring their people. And when they saw how that process was working, they refused to sign off. They said, we can't say that this was an adequate process. We have not actually engaged the community in need of this housing for it. So, unless and until that happens, I can't support moving forward on the project as a whole. And I realize I have limited power to do so. I think this can be worked out and we can build something to house people up there if that's what people want to do, but it has to involve impacted people who are taking the lead and telling us what we need to do there. So,
all right, hold on, please.
Sure.
We can come back to this. I have a suggestion as to what action we could take, but I'm going to honor a request by Jen Metzger that we take something out of order because she has to leave and it's been almost an hour, actually an hour and a half. So I'm going to put a pause on this. I know it's a motion that's been seconded and it's on the floor for discussion, but I would like to move, and I want to say a lot of good points have been raised, but I would like to move to the memorializing letter declaring support for the New York State Climate Action Scoping Plan. And I'm not even sure what action we need to take because that's a letter. But I think it would be helpful to also next month do a memorializing resolution. And while she is here, I'd like to give her a moment to just address the question and any questions we may have. And then I would like to suggest that the reason for doing a letter this month is that comments are due on June 10th, and we wouldn't have